Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Chulin Daf Samach Dalet. We begin on Samach Gilom Abayz, five lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. So you're on the road and the guy on the side is selling some farm eggs. Can you buy it from him? Tanu Rabbanan, Leichem Beitzim. You can buy eggs from a guy, feel free, no problem. B'chol Mokem, anywhere you are. And we're not concerned, Leimishim Nevelis, perhaps it comes from a dead chicken. Leimishim Treifis, from a chicken which was a Treifa. Right, which adversely it's affect its egg as well, right? You cannot eat a egg from a tray for chicken. So why not? Why is there no concern? The Rishonim explained, because most likely it was from a healthy bird. The majority factor is in our favor. We don't assume it's from an avelo or from a tray, right? We don't assume that it was found inside a dead chicken or came from a tray for chicken. Yeah, always remember my Zeder of Shlomo Ronberg, Alva Shalom, used to tell us, when they were escaping the Nazis and on the road, they were starving. There was this guy on the side selling. He was cooking eggs, fresh eggs for the refugees that were. And he approached him to buy some eggs. It was chicken eggs, clearly. But as he was looking the other way, he flicked in a little chip of wood into the fire, so that it turns into Bishul Yisrael, which at least according to the Ashkenazim, that qualifies as Bishul Yisrael. And the guy was going to give him the eggs on the, that was already, he said, no, I want the ones in the pot. And the guy almost killed him. He said, what's wrong with those? They're fresh, just freshly cooked. No, I want those. And luckily he complied. And he bought the eggs out of that pot that he had, participated in the cooking process. So in any case, that's the halacha you can buy. Loichem beitzim. Now the question is, how do you know it comes from a kosher bird? There are many birds that lay eggs, even non-kosher birds. Maybe it's from a non-kosher bird. Amar Bud Shmuel, while we're speaking, that the seller testifies, he tells you it's from a chicken. Vaimer Shalayf Pliny Tar, comes from that specific kosher bird, the chicken. Now you know, says the Gemara Vilema Shalayf Tar. Why does he have to actually identify which bird it is? Why can't you just rely on him when he says it's from a kosher bird? Because then he could just wiggle out and cover for himself. He'll say, well, I meant the other bird. Right? Even if you can somehow prove him wrong, right? You won't be able to. Because he'll always be able to blame it on the next bird. He'll say, well, I didn't say it was the chicken. I said, maybe it was a rooster. Maybe it was a turkey, right? As opposed to this case, where he identifies the type of the actual bird. So then you can just bring another egg of that bird, compare it, match it up, and see if it fits his narrative. So this way, he has that deterrent, and he's saying the truth. Asks the Gemara, why bother asking the guy? Just check the actual egg for its kosher signs. Even the egg has kosher signs. We live like b'simanim, the egg has simanim, to tell you that it's from a kosher bird. The sign you have a b'raisa, k'simanei beitzim, k'ach simanei dagim. The same kosher signs that apply to kosher eggs apply to kosher fish. Really? Ask the Gemara, fish and eggs? What's it got to do with each other? How can you compare eggs to fish? The Torah tells you that by the fish, it's about fins and scales. What's the connection to eggs? Ella Amar, rather, when the Brisa made a comparison, it wasn't between eggs and fish, the actual fish. It was between bird eggs and fish roe, the eggs found inside a fish. They compare in their kosher signs. Alema, rather, the Brisa means like this. Kach simone, we turn to the next page. Ubre dogim, the roe, the eggs found in the fish. And what are those kosher signs? Okay, v'tanya gabi beitzim. The Brisa like this. Eluhein simone beitz. The following are considered kosher signs by the eggs. Kol shekut deres. Vagul Goyles, Rashi explains, these two terms pretty much coincide. They're both relating to the roundness of the egg. Vagul Goyles is round, but Kederis is more pronouncedly round, because Vagul Goyles can mean like round, like an oblong, like more like a lentil, right? Like a block of cheese, which is round on one aspect, but isn't really fully round on all sides, and Kederis is more like a ball, round on all sides. But as we're going to see in a second, it doesn't mean perfectly round. In fact, the second sign is Rosh Shechot Kad Vrosh Shechot Chat. So one tip is more round, Kad, like a Kadur, right? But the other side, the opposite tip, is Chat, comes more like to a point. It's round, but it's a more narrow, defined point. So in that case, if Rosh Echad Chad, Rosh Echad Chad, Kad and Chad, it's Tahira. As opposed to Beis Rosh Echadin, if both sides are perfectly round, like a ball, or Beis Rosh Echadin, or both are more pointy, then you know it's not kosher Tmein. Okay, so we have two signs so far. Round, and then round on one side, and more pointy on the other. Third sign, chelbon. Chelbon is the cholav, right? The milky, the white of the egg, mibachutz. That's on the outside. V'chelmon, which is the yellow, the yolk. Maybe if name is on the inside, then you know it's confirmed to be a kosher variety tohira. If it's the opposite, then it's tamei. Chelmon mibachutz. Yellow is on the outside. V'chelmon if name on the white on the inside, then it's tamei. Okay, so we have three kosher signs. Round. Then we have the round on the tip. And then we have the white on the outside. One more point in the brisa. Suppose you encounter an egg where the white and the yolk are sort of mixed in, into each other like a marble cake. Then you know, biyadua she beitzas hasheretz. This isn't just merely non-kosher. It's from a sheretz, one of the eight primary shrotzim mentioned in the Torah, which are metame when they die. So this egg hails from there, and we'll see soon what this pertains to. So back to our story. He's on the road, starving. He buys the egg from the guy. Why bother asking the guy and getting his information? Just take a look at the egg itself. You see clearly it's from a chicken. You see, we're speaking that it's chopped up, so you can't tell. You can still tell the white and the yolk. But the ruby is because it's mixed into a bowl, so it's all mixed. In this case, you can anyways. You can't buy from the guy in any case. But Tani, we have a price, so you're not meant to buy. An egg salad. In fact, there's halacha. If a farmer ends up with an egg which was laid by a treifa bird, which is non-kosher now, you can't sell it to a guy because he might turn around and sell it to a Yisrael customer unless he chops it up and makes it into a salad. If it's mixed into a bowl, in which case, that makes it discernible that it's different, that it's, you know, and the yid wouldn't buy it from the guy. Based on this halacha, a yid should not buy beitzim trufos from a guy bekar in a bowl, just for this concern. So you shouldn't be buying it anyways. So back to our question. Why bother asking the guy who's selling the eggs on the side of the road? Just take it from him and check the simanim. Elam Rav Zeira, simanim, these kosher signs that we had now listed, labdai rise, it's not really based on the Torah. Rashi says it's not halachal mishmer Sinai as we have by the other simanim of the birds. It's not. It's more like it's our conclusion based on the existing phenomena out there. But it's not an absolute sign to rely on. Dilaytei mahachi, because otherwise, if you disagree with this point, then I have a question for you. If you insist that these simanim, these egg signs, are absolute, and to be relied upon, lahalacha, even in the absence of any other indicators, hodamar vasi. So we recall, the other day we had a Rav Asi telling us, regarding some types of birds, which are questionable in terms of their status. We're not sure whether they're kosher or not kosher. What do you mean? Hodamar vasi, shmoinus fekasin. We have eight birds, which are suffic. What's a suffic? Fine. The bird itself is unknown, but the eggs, just take a look at the eggs and see. They feature these three signs. You know they're kosher. And by default, you know the mother's kosher. Shmoy is fake saying, live like Beitzim the two. Ella Shmam. No, this comes to tell us. Simon Labdai Rice. These Simon of the eggs are not absolute, and you can't rely on them. Okay, so then what's the point of discussing them? Ella Mayhuchas or Katanos, what's the point of discussing them? Hachik Amr. What the Bryce meant is like this. It definitely will tell you that it's not a kosher bird. So the absence of these signs will tell you it's not kosher. That for sure. But just because it has these siman doesn't mean necessarily that it's confirmed to be kosher. Hachikamar, beiz roshay kaden. Both sides are kaden. Oy beiz roshay kaden. Both sides are kaden. Oy chelman b'chutz v'chelman b'fnim. Or the yolk is on the outside and the white on the inside. Then you know for sure it's confirmed valid tmeya. But otherwise, it can still go either way. Right? Reishay chad. If one end is chad, is more narrow. Reishay chad. The other end is kad, is wider. Right? Okay. One check. V'chelman b'chutz v'chelman b'fnim. The white on the outside, the yolk on the inside. Another check. Okay, you're heading in the right direction. And then you have that confirmation, that verbal confiration from the guy. V'amalach, the seller tells you, this is from a kosher chicken. Shalai plainly v'tayru. Then, smaych aleim. You can rely on the simanim as, and this is a confirmation on it. Bistama. But without the guy's testimony, like tismach aleim, you can't rely on these signs, because the ikad erva, you have eggs from a raven, the damila, which are similar to the kosher pigeon eggs, meaning to say that some non-kosher eggs present as kosher. They have similar signs. So if you have the kosher signs plus the guy's confirmation, you're certainly okay. But without that verbal confirmation, not enough to rely on. Okay, so bottom line is, we have three kosher signs on the Beitzim. To the extent that if you don't find the signs, then you know it's not kosher. You have the signs, plus you have confirmation from the seller, you know it's okay. Amar, let's go back and review that last statement in the Braisa. If the white and the yolk are sort of mixed in with each other, then you know for sure b'yadua she based as hasheres, it's come from hasheres. What's the difference? I mean, either way, it's not edible, whether it's from a non-kosher bird or it's from a sheret. Amar Rav Ukbach, you're right, not regarding edibility. Loimar, the point is to tell you she'im rikma v'nikva v'kadosha metami. Those shrotzim are metami, when they die, they're metami, and they're eggs, which this is one of those eggs. If it's rikma, you see that it's starting to form inside, the sheretz is starting to develop inside, and it's already the size of a dosh of a lenta, which is the minimum, the smallest size that can be metami, benigfa. Furthermore, the eggshell got a little puncture, in which case the sheretz inside, developing sheretz inside, is technically accessible from the outside. Then there's tuma there. So then, if you touch this egg, it's metame. Now, why do you need the hole? The point is that really, the eggshell is not the actual sheretz. It's just a shomer. It's sort of protected. It's a gar, right? It's wrapping around it. The halacha is, we'll see this much later in the Masechta, that if you can actually still, you can access these sheretz. So, you know, it's like the sheretz is now exposed to a certain extent. It's accessible. You can relate to it. And now the egg is like the shomer. And since it's serving the sheretz, the whole thing is considered like an item of tuma. Okay, so that's the point of knowing that when there is a mix between the chelman and the chelban, this is one of the shuatzim and it's mitami mask of the ravina. But there's one more candidate. V'dumah d'nachashi, the eggs of a nachash also appear the same way. The yolk and the thing are mixed in, so maybe it's from the nachash, which is not mitami. Ela amar Rava. Rather, says Rava, the point of knowing that when it's mixed in, it's from a sheretz shem rikma va'achla leika olam shem sheretz and sheretz ala'aretz. The point of knowing this is that if you see that it's rikma, the sheretz inside started developing, started growing va'achla, and he ate it, loike gets malchus On account of what? Because he violated the transgression of sheretz, of eating a sheretz, which slithers on the ground, on the earth. Right? So now he knows it was a sheretz al ha'aretz. Because otherwise, I would think maybe it's from a non-kosher bird. And eating it is also an isser, but a different isser. Rashi says it's a sheretz ha'if. It's a flying creature. Different type of isser. Different category. Different family. A different lav. You can't give him malchus unless you warn him specifically. Look, you're violating the isser of sheretz ha'aretz. So that's the point of the Brice. You should know when you observe this phenomenon of the yolk and the white mixed up. This is from the sheretz ha'aretz. The point is that if one is to go and eat it, the asra, the warning, has to pertain to that isra of sheretz ha'aretz ha'aretz as opposed to sheretz ha'if. Yachim ayu the tmeya. That's the point of the Brice. So why does the Brice have to highlight that it's from a non-kosher creature, afilu de tayor nami, even if it was, you know, even if it was a developing kosher bird? I mean, why does this halacha have to pertain to non-kosher, even if it's from a kosher bird, a pigeon, which is developing in this egg? It would be usher to eat it. The sanya, we have a Brice. Kol hasheretz hasheretz al ha'aretz. Now pasuk is coming to add. We turn it on a bit. The rabbi says, "Froichim, shlein iftachu einayim." So you have little chicks, little birds inside an egg, which haven't yet opened their eyes. They're still inside the egg. It's a sheretz. This early stage is still considered a sheretz, a creature which you can't eat. So what's the point of sort of shifting to the eight shrotzim? You know, this isser applies even to a kosher bird, which is as yet undeveloped. Midra bonon. The answer is that the brisa, that consuming the unborn chicks, unborn birds, is considered sheretz. That's all midra bonon. Really, it's an isser rabban. Kra asmachta ba'alma. This pasuk that was cited in the Brice is just merely a support, like a hint, like a. But the Brice wanted to teach us that even in our Torah, there's an isser. If one consumes the unborn sheretz within the egg, which is also min deraisa. Suppose the guy on the side of the road is selling eggs and he's cooking them, but he's cooking kosher and non-kosher in the same pot. So giule, the extraction, the flavor or whatever from the non-kosher egg, beitzim mutaris, they're considered like just it's a watery insignificant, you know, even if there's a little flavor, it's so indiscernible, it's insignificant. We don't treat it as non-kosher material. Mutaris. Beitzim muzaris. Another halacha. You have an egg on which the hen would sit, but it wasn't fertilized by the rooster. So it will never develop into a chick. But it's not very appetizing. Okay, it's still kosher. I mean, technically, halachically, it's still okay. Nefesh yaf, a person who's not really, you know, so finicky, toichlem, you can eat it. You can eat it. Even though it's, ruined and it's... Nimta le'akor dam, however, you discover a blood drop. Drop of blood in your egg. Zerug sadam, ve'echlat hashar. In this case, you can still eat the egg as long as you toss away the bloody spot. Omer Rabbi Yerim Yavush Nimtzal Kesher Shalom. This halacha, you can eat the rest of the egg, is unconditionally find the blood drop on the kesher. Now this means we're like on the wide. We spoke before that the chicken egg has a wide, one end is wide, one end is narrow. So on the wide end, that's where the zera of the tarnagol is. That's where the seed, the fertilization coming from the rooster sits. And that's what it begins forming. It begins forming, developing into the chick, into a chick. So at that spot, right? If the blood is in that spot, you can just shoo it away, cut it away, separate it, and discard of it, and eat the rest, because it hasn't yet spread into the whole egg. So if it's limited to that point, to that location, you're safe on the rest. Tonei dostoi, avod rab turiki. So he presented a price, leishano. When can you eat the rest of the egg? Elosh nimtza al chelbon shaloh. Provided you found the blood on the chelbon, on the white. Exactly as we said, on that corner there. Rashi says it's the same halacha as a minute ago. It's just relating to it with a different term. Chelbon shaloh. Avol nimtza al chelbon shaloh. We find it in the yolk. Afilu beit asur, the whole thing is asur. Why? My time of why? Why is this different? The shada tichla. Tichla means it's like a ruined. It's sort of shada tichla. The tichla, the ruining effect, meaning it's spread on the whole thing. The whole egg was affected, was transformed, was tainted. Okay, so the blood sort of spreads. The whole egg becomes asr. Amar li Rav Griyam Bekasel, Ravash, Ibcha Tani, Tana Kamedar Abaye. There was a chacham that actually was sitting in front of Abaye and presented this halacha just the opposite. Ibcha, in the reverse, Tane Tana, the Tana, the chacham presented this very brisa Kamedar Abaye. To say that if you find the blood spot on the yolk, the rest is okay, versus what you found it on the white, and the whole egg is tainted. And Abaye corrected him. Abaye who did tirtzel neli hachin. Abaye corrected him as we had explained. The correct version is that the bloodlet found on the white saves the egg, but otherwise, if it's on the yolk, the whole egg becomes asr. Amar Chizkia, minay lebeitas tmeya shesur minatera. You know, we're working with the assumption that only an egg from a kosher creature is kosher, as opposed to from a non-kosher creature. How do we know? Now the Mefarshim ask, obviously, there's a halacha kala yotze, right? Kala yotze min ha-tame is tame. Anything produced by non-kosher is non-kosher, and anything produced by kosher is kosher. So what is the Gemara asking for a source? Minayin, how do we know? Why would I think otherwise? The Mefarshim answer, Tosfos actually says, that by an egg, perhaps it's different. I would think, just like you can eat an egg from a chicken. Now you would think that it's not so simple, because we know that you can't eat aver min achai, right? A limb off an animal is asr, even if it's a kosher animal, right? If it was discharged during its lifetime. So perhaps the egg as well. Why would I say you can eat an egg off a chicken? Why is it not even a chai? It's part of a live animal. Oh! So since we know that you can eat an egg off a chicken, there's no concern. So perhaps there's no halacha of yetzah either. It's sort of a new entity. And even if it's from a non-kosher bird, it's a new entity. It's an egg. It's not considered a chip off the old block. It's not considered part of the non-kosher bird. It's a new entity. It's a new mitzius. So just like you can eat an evim nachai egg, perhaps you can eat even an egg from a non-kosher bird. That's what I would think. Comes the Gemara and provides a source. So what is the source? Menayin. Right? Lebeit ha-smeishi asur na toira. Where in the Torah do we find that it's asur? Here goes. Shenema rez bas hayano. Yano is the ostrich. And the bas hayano. The egg off the yana is asr. Now, how do I know bas means an egg? Maybe bas means the daughter, means the offspring of the yana. The answer is it doesn't have offspring. V'chi bas Yeshlo, the Yana, does the Yana give birth? No, it lays eggs. Ella, rather, Ezoi. What is the Bas Hayana? Zu Beitza Tmeya. Bas means the, in this case, doesn't mean literally the daughter, the offspring means the egg. Zu Beitza Tmeya. So we see that the Torah forbids it. The Torah says that the Bas Hayana is Asra. Vadil Mahayn Yishmayu. Who says the Bas over here means the egg that's laid? Maybe it's just a descriptive term of this species, this type of bird. It's called Bas Hayana. You can't say that. This is an Echa describing the destruction and the hardship that we experienced. Bas ami la'achzor kayenim ba'midbar, like the ostrich in the midbar. So the pasuk relates to them as ye'enim, not as bas yana. Apparently their real name is yana, not bas yana. Rather, bas means the egg. V'loi. We don't find that a type called Basiano. Oksiv, the pasuk in Micha, Esav mispeid katanim, will be like a eulogy, the Evel, and mourning, Kivnoisiano. So, if Bnois is just a way of saying the egg, well, how could Bnoisiano be eulogizing and mourning? They're not living creatures, they're eggs. Apparently, Bnoisiana is a reference to a certain species. No! Kiyana zushim sabel sabanea. The pasuk means that the yana, the actual mother ostrich, will mourn on her eggs when they break and they get ruined, right? So, ki Bnoisiana means the yana mourning on the Bnois, on the eggs. So still, the Bnois can mean the eggs. Voksib, really, but the pasuk says in a different place, Vishach nushnam Bnoisiana. The Bnoisiana will reside in Bavel during its destruction, and you know, so you see that there's a type of creature called Bnoisiana. Says the Gemara, no, once again, Kiyana Zush, Shechenes Abaneo. Maybe the type is really Yana. The pasuk means the Yana which resides with its offspring, with its eggs, with its ring. Here comes another pasuk. Oksib, we have another pasuk. Chavdeni chayas asada tanim ubnoisiana. So this isn't Asad Love, when Mashiach will come, there'll be an abundance, there'll be bracha, there'll be blessing, there'll be happiness. And the Bnoisiana will rejoice and will praise Hashem for the water in the desert. So yeah, it's not gonna be an egg yelling, thanking. It's the Bnoisiana, the live creature. If the Bnois is the egg of the Yana, Beitza, the egg itself can speak, but Basmei Mar Shirohi, is he able to sing and to praise Hashem? You're right, says the Gemara, you got me there. El Ksiv Hayana, Ksiv Bas Hayana. You're right. Sometimes the type, the min, the name of the bird is Yana, like we find in some Sukkim. Sometimes the Pasuk calls it Bas Yana, you're right. So back to our story. How do we know that the egg of a non-kosher bird is considered off-limits? It was based on that first pasuk, based Bas Hayana, which is listed amongst the non-kosher birds. We assume Bas Hayana in that context means the egg. Who's to say? Maybe Bas Hayana is just referring to a type of bird, as we have proven. That sometimes the pasuk refers to the bird as Bas Hayana, a certain type called Bas Hayana. Ella Ksiv Hayana, Ksiv Bas Hayana. Shani Hasam. But it's different in that first pasuk. There, it's clearly the egg. Shani Hacha, the Pasak Safra L'Shtei Teves, because we have a Masera, that when the Sefer writes the name Bas Hayana, he splits it into two words, Bas Hayana. When the Pasak L'Safra B'Tarti Teves, the very fact that the Sefer is meant to split into two words, we turn to the next page, Shmamna Tore Shem Yasninu. So clearly, it's not one and the same variety. It's not referring to the same species, same type of bird. Terei Shemus Nina, two names. It's two things. Yana is the bird, and Bas is the egg of that bird. Okay, so the fact that it's split into two tells you it's two separate entities. And now we know that the egg of non-kosher bird is Asr. Says the Gemara, one second, Elamiata. If the fact that it's split indicates that it's two separate entities, what about back in Bereshis? We have Kedar Lo Aimer. He was one of the kings that fought Avraham Avinu. Eskedar lo Aimer, right? the pasuk lusaf rishet betray, which we know as well. The sefer splits into two: kedor and loimer. Hachanam etatish meinin. You mean to say it's two people? No, we know for sure it's the same person, same king. Says the Gemara, no, Amri, the answer is like this. Havsam Mishtei Teves Pasaklu. You're right. Kedor Laim is split into two words. But that's it. Mishnei Shittin Lui Pasaklu. It's not split into two lines. It's meant to be written on the same line, because really he's one and the same person. Aval Hocha, but here by the Basayano, Afilu Mishnei Shittin Nami Pasaklu. Let's say the Sefer only had enough space on the line for Bas. Can he do that? Can he write Bas here and continue on the next line with the word Yano? Yes, he could. That'll only hold true, that'll only make sense, if in fact these are two separate things, two separate names in front of two separate entities. Yana is the mother, and Bas is the egg, hence we know an egg from a non-kosher bird is us. Okay, so in a nutshell, we learned the halacha of Beitzin today. A Beitzin needs to be from a kosher mother, as opposed to from a non-kosher bird, learned from Bas HaYana. How do we know it's from a kosher entity? We have the Simanim, which is number one, and confirmed by way of knowledge, the guy's testimony, etc. The three simonim are roundish, round on one side, more pointy on the other, the white on the outside, the yolk on the inside, and we learned one more point, that if it's mixed, the yolk and the white are mixed, you know it's from a sheretz. And what about if we discover some blood drop in the egg? It depends where it is. If it's on the kesher, on the upper part, you know, with the white part of the white, then we know it's limited to that area and unaffecting the rest. Whereas if it's found in the rest of the egg, then we know that the whole egg is affected by it and is considered asr. All the best to you and atzlochra.